The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Gracious and glorious God, you have chosen us as your own, and by the powerful name of Christ, you protect us from evil. By your Spirit, transform us and your beloved world, that we may find our joy in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
I invite you to be seated.
Jesus loves the little children of the world.
Good morning. First reading is from Acts. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers. Together the crowd numbered about 120 persons and said, "Friends, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit through David foretold concerning Judas, who became a guide for those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry." So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day he was taken up from us, one of these must be a witness with us to his resurrection. So they proposed two: Joseph, called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed and said, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias. He was added to the 11 apostles. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 1 responsibly. Happy are those who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seats of the scornful. They are like trees planted by the streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper.
It is not so with the wicked. They are like chaff.
Therefore the wicked shall not stand upright when judgment comes, nor the sinner in the counsel of the righteous. Amen. The second reading is from 1 John. If we receive human testimony, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he has testified to his Son. Those who believe in the Son of God have the testimony in their hearts. Those who do not believe in God have made him a liar, by not believing in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And this is his testimony: God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus prayed, "I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one, as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost, except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
O Christ. I invite you to be seated. Fair warning, I like to hear from you during my sermons, so when I ask questions, they are not rhetorical. Okay? Just got to get that out of the way. So today made me think a lot about belonging. How many clubs do you belong to? How many organizations do you belong to? Do everybody belong to some kind of organization? If you're sitting in this pew, you probably at least belong to this organization. What do you have to do before you can belong to one of those? What are some of the requirements?
Make a commitment.
At St. Peter's. Make a commitment. At St. Peter's, you just show up. Somebody else go back here? Come to things, participate, make a donation, someone said. Sometimes you clubs require you to make a donation before you can belong, right? What about your family? That's an organization you belong to. Some of us have less organized families than others. What do you have to do to belong to your family?
Be born.
You're born into it. You don't choose that organization, right? You just show up. But all of us throughout our lives are looking for places to belong. The reason why clubs are still alive today. Clubs and organizations, groups of people, they take different shapes and different forms in different generations, and yet still we yearn to belong. Jesus today in the scripture prays to the Holy Father that they may be one. Now, as Lutherans, many of us have this heritage of interpreting this passage to mean head stuff. We are a very intellectual people. Amen? Okay. So we hear this passage and we hear Jesus praying that they may be one, and we get busy thinking, and we get busy talking, and we get busy theologizing, and we can proudly say as Lutherans that we are the most connected denomination ever. You know that we have more official theological agreements with other denominations than any of those denominations have with each other? Did you know that? We are tops. We are the ones who are out there engaging with other denominations, and we send our best theologians out to meet all the other people's best theologians, and they think, and they study, and they pray, and they work these things out, and we are the ones who say, we can agree on that, we can agree on that. We can agree on this. And we've spent countless hours and countless dollars to do this. Super high priority for us in the Lutheran thinking church. But the part of this prayer that I think we miss is the part that says you're supposed to live as one, not just think as one. Because Jesus, after all, didn't have those kinds of sign on the bottom line requirements for joining his followers, correct? The thing about Jesus was he would just come up to you one day and say, follow me. And the fishermen would drop their nets, everything they were doing, and come and follow.
and they followed as a way of life. They didn't follow as a way of thinking. Jesus was about bringing a new way of being in the world. Jesus came to create a whole new way to live in community. And Jesus' way of being in community was that everyone belonged. We've lost that. We've lost that over these last 2,000 years because somehow we have turned following Jesus into membership in an organization. And when it becomes membership in an organization, there become all of these requirements for how to be acceptable to God. Whereas if we go back to Jesus, Jesus picked out the scruffiest people to belong to his organization. Jesus welcomed the dirtiest and the shabbiest and the least reputable in the community. Those were the ones he sought out. Jesus prayed that we may be one, that we may live in community as one. So how in the world do we do that? How do we get from where we are thinking to how we are living as one? Well, the scripture story that talks about what the disciples did to replace Judas is a good place to start, right? Just as I was telling the kids, when they have tough decisions to make, we start with prayer. Jesus constantly was turning to his Holy Father in prayer, and he even taught his disciples, call him Abba. Call God Daddy. Because that's how close God is. And that is how willing God is to listen and hear and respond to your needs. And so as a community, our first priority must always be prayer. We start with prayer, we continue with prayer, we end with prayer. So that we may be one. But it goes beyond that, doesn't it? Jesus says that I want my joy to be made complete in them. That my joy, may be made complete in them. You see, joy is something beyond being happy. How many of you remember the song, Don't Worry, Be Happy? Dating myself here, but that was a very popular song. It was so simple, right? Don't worry, be happy. But how long does that last? How long does that truly last? Because joy, happiness is a moment. Yes, happiness is, ooh, I got a new car, and then it breaks down. Happiness is, ooh, I got a new job, and then I meet my coworkers. Happiness is for a moment, but joy, joy is deep. Joy is wide. Joy is all-encompassing because it's not about our circumstances. Joy is about who we are and whose we are. You see, the people of God have a joy that goes way beyond happy. We have a joy that lasts beyond suffering. We have a joy that accompanies us in our struggles and brings us to new life. Because that is what Jesus did for us. And so when we live in community as people who choose joy over happiness, we can become one people. Imagine if our wider community chose a deeper satisfaction of joy that applied to all the community rather than the momentary happiness of economic success. That could transform our world. And I know that just sounds crazy. It really sounds crazy that we could do anything that could change the world. The world is a big, bad, scary place. And after all, we are just us, right? We are flawed. Raise your hand if you have a flaw. Oh, okay. Okay, I'm in good company. Good, good. Flaws abound. We are human after all. God made us this way. It's more interesting, right? Sometimes more interesting than others. But even you and I, with our flaws, with our humanity showing all over the place, we are empowered children of God. Got a baptismal font right back there that y'all walk past every time you come into this room. And that is there, not just to be pretty. It's pretty. I've never seen a very big shell font like that. Very nice. It's there so that every time you come into this place, you remember where you started. Because it's in baptism that we all get our beginning. And it's in baptism that we were all called to live in this community of God's people. And so it's in baptism that we first get to be a part of the oneness that Jesus prays for. And it's in that font that all of our flaws get washed away and we are given new life. Not just eternal life for later, but new and abundant life now. And it's through that gift that we discover that deep joy that we can choose over momentary happiness. And we discover what it means to live together as people of prayer with God guiding us out into the world. Because people of God who are people of joy can indeed go out and change the world. It's our calling and it's Jesus' prayer that they may be one as you and I are one. Let us make that our prayer as we go into our week to change the world for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen.